With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
It's Christmas!
Let the bells ring out, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to number 6 of our 12 Rambles of Christmas, the halfway point.
Absolutely.
Now, gentlemen, during any season, there are twists and turns, shocks and surprises and drama, and oh, how we love the drama. Well, the title race always captures the imagination, but often where the real drama lies is between a handful of teams battling for their lives at the bottom of the table. Today, ladies and gentlemen, it's all about the relegation scrap. This is as dramatic as football gets.
100%. And I've learned that we, as a football podcast, have been we're so much part of the football furniture now, we can get an endorsement, as we have on this show, talking about yesterday's show. And many of our listeners have indeed already relegated us. So we're not immune from this either.
No. We're always in a scrap, us.
We are.
Always fighting for our survival.
Come May, we're always fighting for survival.
And it's variably three ways.
Indeed it is, yeah. I mean, relegation, it's a terrifying thing. Relegation strikes fear into many teams across the land. And some sides, their objective at the start of the season is to avoid it.
Yeah,
that's what they're...
Well, everyone wants to avoid it, but some people don't have to worry about it as much.
Well, yeah, I don't think Pep Guardiola said, right, lads, another season without avoiding relegation.
Let's get the 40 points.
Sometimes relegation finds you.
Yeah.
Well, that's true, Peter, because other sides... So some sides start off thinking, right, avoid relegation, that would be a good season for us. Other sides don't start thinking about it until they find themselves in trouble. Mm. And then some sides don't realise it's happening until it's too late.
So there's I guess the last couple of seasons of the Premier League have been just people being unable to thrash themselves out of an absolute miasma of just crap football.
Yeah.
But that wasn't always the case. Like, relegation would find you. Like, you could find yourself in relegation scrap and actually be playing quite well and actually getting picking up points and stuff. But I don't know what the points totals are. I'd like to just probably check
it's
out.
It's about 36. For the Premier League, you probably need about 36 now. So the 40-point thing is a bit
So it used to be about 40, didn't it?
West Ham got relegated with 42 one year, didn't they?
Yeah, I think it has been breached once. But people say our aim is for 40 points. That generally is the thing. Mm. But what we're sort of tapping into there is the old cliche, rather, of it, they're too good to go down.
Yeah.
And that's always dangerous. Middlesbrough,
In the 90s when they had Janino and Ravanelli, a good example of that.
You know what? I think that's been proven true so many times. You don't even really hear that cliche anymore. I don't remember the last time a team was described as being too good to go down. I mean, a good example, and one of the baffling sort of kind of characteristics of that era where too good to go down was something you heard a lot was when Leeds went down. Yet every single one of their players was being linked with a move elsewhere if they went down because the squad had so much talent in it. But for some reason, they would just get battered every week.
The club was a basket case, wasn't it?
Yeah, and they weren't just losing like, you know, a bit. They were getting smashed.
It's strange. You're right. You look at some of the players they had. What on earth were they doing there? And they've never come back since.
No.
Which is why relegation is the boogeyman.
Well, that's the danger, isn't it? It's a trapdoor, a real trapdoor. But then the other hand of it, if you survive it, you've had this abysmal season that ends on this massive high.
Yeah.
Which is a really weirdly
contradictory thing. Yeah. I mean, you know, Luke, you'll remember Portsmouth when they had that miraculous escape. You know, that Jim's right, that you have a terrible season and you're thinking to yourself, oh, blimey, you know, where's the next win coming from? Yeah. You're looking over your shoulder constantly. And then when actually survival is clinched, it's almost like winning a cup.
Yeah. So, I mean, you've seen both of those things in recent times, Luke. You've seen Pompey win the FA Cup and make a sort of miraculous escape. Well, like, how did they compare?
Well,
obviously, they're very different.
I don't know. I think the escape was obviously more relief than anything else. And with the FA Cup, in a way, it was sort of similar because Portsmouth, the draw opened up for them to such an extent.
They had Cardiff
They had West Brom in the semi-final.
Yeah.
And the only game they played would have been United away at Old Trafford.
Which, as we know, they bossed.
We gave them a battering in that one. And but the thing was, interestingly, there's two things have come together more recently than that, which is in 2010. Now, Portsmouth were relegated in 2010. They got a 9-point deduction for going into administration, but they would have been relegated anyway. They were awful. The writing was on the wall for a long time. So I didn't feel the anxiety around that. You just sort of, you get used to it. But in that season, they also got to the FA Cup final and they missed a penalty to go 1-0 up. They could have won the FA Cup.
That's right.
And been relegated in the same season. But
a la Wigan.
Indeed. Absolutely. It would have been exactly like that. But you have to remember, you don't have to remember because you have no reason to care about this, but before Portsmouth got promoted to the Premier League, before this Mandy Rich Redknapp type revolution happened, most of the time Portsmouth were in danger of being relegated out of the Championship. And that was where you felt it. I personally felt it a lot more keenly because I lived in the area. Portsmouth going into league, I mean, we've seen what happened subsequently, but at the time, Portsmouth going down to the third tier would have been unthinkably shit because we are already absolutely skint anyway. Mm. The club was a comatose giant, let alone a sleeping giant. And they came very, very close on a number of occasions of going right down to the third tier. And I think when you live in the town and you realise exactly how much it can be affected, the converse of this is when Portsmouth promoted to the Premier League, the whole city got investment. It felt like the whole city was on the up. Yet when you get relegated, it's bad. And the opposite. And part of that is, of course, the members of staff that lose their jobs. Mm-hmm. Particularly when you go these days from the Premier League down to the second tier. The Championship's a great league. And
it's loads of big clubs in there.
Of course.
You can reel them off, and they're huge clubs.
From a football point of view, genuinely, there's nothing to be scared of.
No,
there's so many reasons you can have a good time.
I totally agree.
You win
with that.
Games, you get to play some nice football, there's less pressure, blah, blah, blah.
Good away days as well.
Yeah, but a lot of people suffer who work at the club because of this drop-off in the amount of money available. And that really is something that has to be thought about a lot more deeply than it currently has. But from the outside looking in, I completely agree with what you said at the start. The drama is incredible. I remember there was a season, the season that Norwich got relegated, they got beaten heavily at Craven Cottage.
I
forget the year. That was an amazing final day. Or six teams could have gone down.
Well, that was the year that West Brom made that great escape, wasn't it? And it was it may have happened since, but at the time, it was the first time that no one was mathematically relegated on the last day. So it was all to play for. And Norwich had to, they had to just get something at Fulham, didn't they? And they just capitulated and lost 6-0.
6-0.
Yeah, or something like that. And do you remember that match of the day? That was the greatest match of the day of all time because they did it in real time. So they did. Yeah. They did all the games at once, rather than showing the individual ones, and it was beautiful.
Yeah, because there's so many teams involved. Obviously, with the title race, the best you can hope for nowadays is two teams going into the last day, and obviously the two Manchester sides with Aguero, was unbelievable. And the scenes of jubilation. But it's interesting what you say, Luke, there about. If a club gets relegated, it's almost like the local economy has like a mini recession.
Yeah.
Or I know that's a bit strong to say, but it's true. People, there is a chance that people could lose their jobs and people will certainly have a reduced income. Mm. And there is a cloud that hangs over sides, and especially big sides. Like we've seen with Leeds United, they've not recovered as yet. Some sides can be a bit yo-yo, up and down and whatnot. And, I mean, Pete, Newcastle obviously have been relegated recently. It's ridiculous to think of the size of that club, a club that we've seen nearly win the title, a club that is huge, has played in the Champions League and all. I don't know about the sense of shame. Shame might not be it, but I don't know what it would be, the sort of the dark cloud that hangs over
when a stadium and when a team sort of dominate one city, I think it's a very different situation. I think the more stark and interesting relegation in recent history was definitely the first one, with where they had five managers in a whole season. Mm. It was Keegan, Houghton, Kinnear, Calderwood, and then Shearer. And then they went down.
With
players like Michael Owen, Shea Given, James Milner. You know, these weren't crappy players.
Damien Duff went down.
Damien Duff was in there,
They lost to Villa on the last day.
I think it was.
With a deflected goal. I can't remember if a point would have been enough.
But then later on, when Jonas Gutierrez came back after having testicular cancer and, you know, came back to health, bless him, and he scored the winner at West Ham, or the one that sealed the victory.
Gave it the fucking big one to Mike Ashley.
I really enjoyed that moment. So, you know, there's two sides of the coin, isn't there? If you escape it.
But Newcastle United is very much the focal point of that city in a way that a lot of other clubs aren't.
Yeah, hugely.
And so it probably affects them.
But I'm saying for a side like Newcastle, there's no way they should be in the Championship with the,
there's no way that Sunderland should be where they are. You know, there's no way that Hartlepool should be down there. There's no way that
it's within the realms of possibility for sides like that. You look at the size.
Sunderland are a bloody big club.
I know they are. They shouldn't be in the third tier. You're absolutely right. But with Newcastle, I'm saying, Peter, that when a side like that goes down among the supporters, they really feel it.
But they enjoyed the Championship. But I think they have to
get themselves up for it. It's not like there are some clubs, if they go down, even like Fulham, for crying out loud, you think, well,
they had a bit of a good run.
At least, you know, there's a chance we'll win something.
Looking back on it now, it felt like that for Portsmouth. It felt a bit like an extended holiday that was a good laugh. But they wouldn't have taken, presumably most fans, so I don't speak on behalf of all of them, but wouldn't have taken the trade-off that came along. I think the club almost going out of existence.
When I was talking about derbies a little bit earlier on in this run, I spoke about Hartlepool and Darlington playing in Division 3. Other teams in that league back then was like Swansea and Fulham and stuff like
probably
that.
Probably Bournemouth, maybe.
Bournemouth as well.
If you go down to the Championship and you're one of the biggest or bigger clubs in the Championship, it's actually okay. You can find a bit of comfort in that. Mm. You don't want to be the biggest club in the Championship because it shows you probably shouldn't be there. Mm. And I think if you go down, like you say, look, you can have a good time, but you don't have the away days to Old Trafford. Mm. You don't have the games at the Emirates and all that kind of stuff.
Again, it's a status thing as well, going back to the fan rivalries thing. I remember first time West Ham got relegated in my memory of it. It just seemed so weird.
But when Man City went down, I thought, well, they deserve that. They've been stinking up the league for quite a while. And look where they are now.
But I mean, they went way down, of course. Yeah. And now they're way up. All right, after the break, a little more relegation scrap chat. See you in a minute.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back, everybody. Now, we focused there on sort of Premier League and all, but it really, the real tough one, if you're going to look at the in England, the whole of the professional leagues and whatnot, is if you drop out of League Two into the National League. That, and it's only one place that gets automatic relegation there. That is, that is tough. I mean, we've seen big sides like Luton. And Oxford United.
Leighton Orient.
Leighton Orient go down. I mean, that is like they drop off the map.
Yeah.
You're not on, your highlights
aren't
anywhere.
You're not professional anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Your highlights are not on wherever the Football League highlights on Quest or Channel 5 or whatever. You're not, your results are not as easily attainable as they were. That really is a tough relegation to take. I know we spoke about him recently on the ramble, but Carlisle United and Jimmy Glass survived that time, you know, that was,
and that's affected him to such. He's a household, not household name, but football fans everywhere really of a certain age know exactly who he is because of that.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't have known otherwise.
Yeah.
And it one thing that surprised me at the start of when I first started getting into this job, where you actually meet players and you interview them, you talk to them and stuff. I was surprised to start with how much they actually do care about things.
Oh, yeah.
My impression of football players before I started doing this was that it's just a job for them, really. And yeah, fine, they do love it and they'll kiss the badge and they'll turn up on the Saturday and they'll have a good time and they'll try their best, but they don't care. And then I remember interviewing Chris Kirkland for one of the Ramble Meet specials, and he was relegated as a young guy at Coventry City. And I mean, he was absolutely, even when he was talking about it years later, he had forced his way into the team. Magnus Hedman, who was Sweden's number one, was the goalkeeper. Gordon Strachan was the manager. Chris Kirkland, I think, got a chance and kept the shirt, kept Magnus Hedman, an international keeper, out. And he was, I think he was only about 18, Kirkland. And yet they got relegated that season. And to hear him talk about it even a year ago, when it was, you know, I think he's the same age as me, so it would have been almost 20 years ago now. It was actually quite revealing about how much players can care.
Yeah.
But we've seen players like Alan Smith, as we mentioned, Leeds United earlier. Alan Smith was absolutely devastated, wasn't he? Leeds United fan. But then the flip side to that is, do you remember when QPR were relegated under Redknapp?
Yes.
And Jose Bosingwa was seen smiling and laughing and joking. Yeah. And they got a lot of stick for that.
Wasn't it Pascal Chimbonda for Wigan as well? They got relegated and he had a transfer request in his
sock.
Or did they stay up? Maybe they stayed up.
There was definitely Pascal Chimbonda who did something like that.
I think they stayed up, but the point is
but it shows you.
He was prepared.
It shows you the difference between the Premier League and the second tier in England. The fact is, years and years ago, Alan Smith playing for Leeds, you know, he loved Leeds and all the rest of it. He would have stayed because the difference in the two leagues wasn't that great. But this was a young player who wanted to play for England and he wanted to achieve a lot in the game. And someone, I remember the interview, someone said to him, "But you're not a Championship player, are you, Alan Smith, or Division One, whatever it was called at the time?" And he went, "No, I'm not."
Yeah,
and actually, he put his own career ahead of playing for Leeds United. Now, that's not a criticism. That's not a kind of, oh, you sold out.
Can I weigh in with a criticism?
Please.
He went on Soccer M that season doing a player interview where they answer a load of prepared questions.
Yeah.
And one of them is something you definitely know. And he was saying, "I definitely know I'll never play for Man United."
Yeah, well.
And then they got relegated and he signed for Man United.
Straight away.
And then he turned into a midfield player and really flourished.
Yeah. And do you know what I love is you can imagine Alex Ferguson seeing interviews like that and going, I'm going to do this.
Yeah. Rub salt in the wound.
In a way, it was a come and get me, please.
Salt shaker all over Leeds United.
Alan Smith was also in the squad that went down as well.
Yeah, right.
Two girls in those. Yeah. Oh,
specialist in failure.
Yeah. we talk about footballers probably, you know, it being surprising to hear how much they care. But I mean, presumably, all four of us in the room at some stage as kids wanted to be footballers, and I think most of the people listening that will have been the case for as well.
Mm-hmm. So. I wanted to be the ball.
Did you?
I just wanted to be.
We can still arrange that.
But I mean, obviously, every footballer was in the same position, but they had to dedicate themselves to this incredibly tough lifestyle, really, in terms of how much you have to commit to you know, focusing on.
I think you've tapped into that. I think so. I think you're right, because I think maybe if players get to a point, I mean, you're always going to get players who don't care because it's just a job to them and we're just good at it and that's fine. But by and large, I think you've tapped into something there. And I think Chris Kirkland being affected so badly about it would probably be because he was so young. Mm. But I think maybe you can absolutely see how across a 15 or 20 year career, by the end of it, you're just completely disillusioned by it and you don't care.
Well, you've seen everything and you can deal with the emotions.
Going for the emotions, yeah.
I mean, did Michael Owen struggle when he was relegated with Newcastle?
Did what, sorry?
The Michael Owen struggle when Newcastle went down?
No, he released a dossier, a come and get me dossier, and went to Manchester United, didn't he?
Yeah, so. He did.
I mean, it's only fair we mention Michael Owen on this, because we did endorsements yesterday, and he didn't get any stick for the Dubai helicopter thing.
No.
So let's give him some stick in this one instead. Even though he was very nice when you spoke to him, Marcus, apparently.
Yeah, and people, a few Newcastle fans said, you didn't ask him about Newcastle, genuinely because there was a PR man who kept walking in the room and tapping his watch telling me to hurry up.
Right, there we go. That's how it works.
That's how Paxman gets you.
That's it.
We've often talked about the relegation system in Germany, which has been different, which is the third bottom team in the Bundesliga have a playoff with the third place team in the Bundesliga too. Like, I mean, I love the thought of that.
Well, that is mad, isn't it? I mean, the differing emotions on the day if the team who are the lower league side go up. Because it's not like losing a cup final's bad or something like that for the side who finished second. They can take an ounce of solace, perhaps thinking, well, you know, I've got a runners-up medal. We had a good run, especially if they're an underdog. They can say, do you know what? And their fans can applaud them off and say, bloody hell, you got us to a final. We appreciate the memories. Obviously, that might not be the case if it's two big sides. But if the losing side is being relegated and the opposition are the ones celebrating who have taken your place in that league. I mean, but the playoff final, not quite the same, but the playoff final is often one of the best games of the year.
Well, that's great because you've got the little cup competition. Yeah, so I don't know.
But the Bundesliga playoff thing, the criticism you can level at that is it doesn't really work. I mean, the team in the second flight hasn't been promoted through that means, I don't think, since 2012.
Yeah.
Fortuna Düsseldorf beat Hertha, I think. Last couple of years, it's been Wolfsburg who've won both times, and then before that, like Hamburg and Eintracht Frankfurt and Hoffenheim. I don't know why that is. It's across two legs, of course, isn't it? So maybe they're just the better team wins out across the two legs. But it's interesting you say that, because without wanting to sort of divert too much, I was thinking about this the other day about something else randomly. I wonder if like a team who's confident and winning every week, say like a team like at the moment, current time recording, someone like Leeds or Norwich who are flying high in the Premier League, in the Championship, I'd fancy them to beat Huddersfield.
Yeah.
I'd fancy them to beat Cardiff probably. But then having said that, they've both come up through that means and they should be equipped to deal with that. But they're not really winning. They're not. Fulham is another one. Their confidence was probably low. So you wonder why it doesn't happen as much as it should.
Psychologically, it's very interesting, isn't it? You think
there is a psychological barrier.
Maybe that's it. Would the Championship team
inferiority complex?
Yeah. And absolutely, would the Premier League team feel this sort of energized pride almost? Yeah. Like, no, this is not our.
But
you're beneath us. You are literally beneath us, and we're going to keep you there.
And the threat of a relegation and whatever level you're at, and you talk about players earlier on probably dropping out the Football League, that was a very real possibility for Portsmouth. They went all the way down to the bottom tier.
Yeah.
They bottomed out for the size of club they are, and they managed to come back. But it's very real. And I think it's a real, really, really important part of the psyche and the fabric of what it is to support football. Even if you're a fan of a really big club, things can happen. Things can go wrong. Now, it looks less and less likely each year. But obviously, I've spent a decent amount of time over in the US. And one of the things that I feel massively is missing from American sport is this idea of relegation.
I agree.
You have no jeopardy at all. Yeah. And the reason the playoffs were brought in the Football League, of course, is because by about December, half the league had nothing to play for. So they brought the playoffs in. It's the same in, for example, American football. Fine, if you do really badly, you get a better pick of the players in the draft the next year. beyond that, there's no jeopardy. Yeah. There's absolutely no jeopardy.
You almost get rewarded oddly.
Yeah, but there's no jeopardy.
No, I totally agree. And there's something about a big side who have just relied on their reputation and they go down and there'll be other people going, look what you've done. Well, I mean, I was the first time in my memory when Hibs went down, I was actually there. A couple of mates of mine are Hibs fans and I thought, well, I'll go along to see this. They needed to win. And it was, it would have been late 90s this. And the thought of Hibs going down, it was ridiculous they were in that situation. You know, like it was almost like the equivalent of Leeds going down in England. And I'd never forget it, how depressing. I mean, I'm not a Hibs fan, obviously. Mm. And yet I felt quite down.
Like the atmosphere,
people were gutted. They couldn't believe it. And I mean, there was there was one bloke who was sat next to us who just turned round after the finals and went, I'll see you at Cali next year. You know, they couldn't believe it. You're not playing the likes of Rangers, Celtic, Hearts and Aberdeen. And
no relegation final day is complete without some cameraman somewhere finding a footage of a kid in the stands crying. Mm.
With relegation, it can be a real sliding doors moment, of course. And I know sport is littered with these moments, it's almost pointless to say. But Leicester City, that miraculous escape they made in 2014-15, Nigel Pearson in charge. Nigel Pearson was in charge of Carlisle when Jimmy Glass scored, by the way, so he's a bit of a specialist. But you know, they won, they had 10 games to go, there were 7 points from safety, and they won 7 out of their last 9 games. If they hadn't have survived, we wouldn't have seen the greatest thing, I would argue, that the sport has ever thrown up, unless they're winning the league the next season.
The second most important manager in Premier League history.
Do you remember when West Ham had to pay reparations to Sheffield United?
Of course we do.
Because they fielded Carlos Tevez. Man United had, I think, a cup match, or a Champions League match, and they fielded a weakened team, and Carlos Tevez scored.
Yeah, West Ham beat United at Old Trafford, 1-0,
Even though he was an illegal player, effectively, because he was owned by an agent.
Yeah, well, I think that was what was to be determined, wasn't it, at the time?
Well, Sheffield United brought a court case and it was deemed that West Ham had to pay him £20 million.
Yeah, it was a decent amount of money,
And Sean Bean called...
Sean Bean was involved, yeah.
Called Neil Warnock a wanker in front of his kids.
There we go.
His own kids or Neil Warnock's kids?
Yeah. Neil Warnock's kids.
No, both kids.
All kids were there.
Yeah. But that's it, though. When you look at the last day of action in the league and you think, who are they playing? Oh, they're away at Old Trafford. That takes care of it.
Yeah.
Or Bradford beating Liverpool 1-0.
West Ham love playing Man United on the last day.
They do.
I was just surprised that Neil Warnock bear a grudge about that.
Good that he hasn't mentioned it this season. But it's true, like Bradford, when they stayed up, you know, playing Liverpool on the last day, you think to yourself, if you're one of the other sides down, you think, oh great, they've got them, we've only got them, and it doesn't always work out.
The best thing about that Bradford, that was in 2000, I remember watching that game.
David Weatherall, they
beat Liverpool. They had to beat them to stay up and everyone gave them no chance. And I can remember when they were celebrating, a guy behind one of the goals unfurling a banner saying Houdini lives in Bradford. And I thought, you've prepared that. You've prepared that before the game.
Fair.
And you've not thought at any point, now it's going to jinx it. You're taking it along anyway.
I think he was right.
If any steward had spotted it, they would have told him he couldn't take it. He'd have jinxed it.
No jinxes here.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. There we are. Ladies and gentlemen, there we are, the relegation scrap. And we is it right to say we look forward to seeing what happens? I suppose we do look forward, you know.
My team will not be involved this year, so I will very much be looking forward
They're very much in the promotion.
They are.
Title race.
At time of recording.
Thank you very much, everybody, for listening to the 6th episode of our 12 Rambles of Christmas in association with Bet365. We're back tomorrow with something else from the world of football that gives us plenty of cheapies. See you tomorrow.
Season's greetings and a happy new year.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.